Hallelujah. Go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 4. I can hardly wait to get all the prophecies that came through Pastor Dave today at the 10 o'clock service. I was trying to catch all of that and so I could remember it. But thank God we have media. Thank God where they can capture that and transcribe it. And we so appreciate all of the staff that does that. Boy, there was some strong things in there. And it makes me excited. I'm glad I go to this. I was already glad I go to this church, and now I'm even gladder I go to this church, you know. And gladder, if that's a word. Hallelujah. But in keeping with this morning's, I just love this morning's 8:30 service. I don't care if I did do it myself. I just loved it. You could tell I loved it, right? Man, isn't it amazing what all's really in there? The Word of God is just amazing. It kind of continuing from that vein a little bit, we're going to speak a little bit about Paul here in Philippians chapter 4. It's amazing to me the life of Paul, how he would lay down his life for these people, hell through hell's best at him. I mean, that demon that was assigned to stop him and probably had an entourage of smaller demons under him. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians 11. The beatings and the stonings and the shipwrecks and everywhere the man went. Then, as if that's not bad enough, then he goes and he goes to a place like Corinth, leads this whole bunch of pagans to the Lord, you know. Gets them all born again, and then while he's off ministering somebody else, the Judaizers come, these, quote, false apostles, and they start undermining Paul's work, trying to put the church back under the law. To the point that the ones he led to the Lord, even they themselves begin to question whether Paul is even an apostle or not. So he says there, the more I love you, seems like the more I love you, the less I'm loved, you know. It's an amazing thing, the life of the apostle Paul. But he says some things here in Philippians chapter 4. Then again, I remind you, this is really a thank you letter for the gift that the church at Philippi had sent him. They had lost track of Paul for a while, didn't know where he was, and he got arrested, and he was in Rome, and they found out about it. So they took up an offering, and they sent it to him by the hands of a man named Epaphroditus, and we've talked about him several times. Yes, sir. Let's look at it again, and that's Philippians chapter 2. Instead of reading the whole thing again, he talks about we're going to read the whole thing again. Yes, sir. Starting in verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. And what he means by that, Epaphroditus was the one that physically brought the offering. You got to remember, back then they didn't have MoneyGram, they didn't have checks, they didn't have any paper currency pretty much. It was coin. It was usually gold or silver, some type of coin. It was heavy. It was conspicuous, hard to hide. And I don't think Epaphroditus risked his life by sea and by land for weeks to bring a $10 offering. I think it was probably a significant offering that he's bringing. And it's dangerous. You know, thieves, robbers, they find out you've got that kind of money on you. They might kill you and take the money. And apparently he was wise enough he didn't get attacked that way, but the enemy was so afraid of money getting into the hands of Paul that he attacked this Epaphroditus with sickness and tried to kill him on the way. And Paul says an astounding thing about the work that Epaphroditus was doing there. I'd never heard it before till just recently. I saw it in the Word of God. He says, again, he was your messenger and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. I mean, this is not a cold. Enemies trying to take him off the planet. Why? Trying to stop that offering from getting to Paul. If he'd have died along the way, you know. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. And look at verse 30. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. I have never heard it called that before in my life. the work of Christ. Was he evangelizing? No. Was he out spreading the gospel of Jesus himself? No. What was he doing? He was delivering finances from the church at Philippi and getting it into the hands of Paul. And Paul himself calls that, the word of God says, that is the work of Christ. Glory to God. Transporting the money. Why? Because why would the devil try and kill a man like that? Because he knows what will happen when money gets in the hands of Paul. See, the devil knows what happens whenever money gets into the hands of Tim here at the church, Dave Roberson Ministries. As anyone can tell, it's not going into the light fixtures and the fancy carpet. I remind you again, this is really not by design to be theater seating in this church. It's settling, you know. What's going to happen with the money? And at least, you know, and that's fine to have nice things. Don't get me wrong. If there was, but first, what's going to happen? Souls are going to be won to the kingdom. That book is going to go out to even more people. Media will go out. Praise for the work of Christ. He was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. In other words, he's willing to die for it. To supply your lack of service toward me. And what he means by that, they had lost track of Paul again and didn't know where he was, but now they found him again. So they're able to give to him again for the work of Christ. I may have to do a series on that. Transporting the money, bringing the money into the hands of true apostles. My. Well, going back to chapter 4, this is really where we're going to teach tonight. I so admire Paul. I saw many of these things a long time ago when I was really trying to understand the mind of Christ when it comes to kingdom finances. And one of the verses that we in Christianity quote all the time is verse 13. And we should. It's a very good confession. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's just say that right now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's a good confession, isn't it? But see, I used to run a little survey, and I've done it too often with you guys. You already know. But I used to run a little survey because I was curious, and I would ask people, I'd quote that verse to them, and I'd say, do you know what the context is, what Paul was talking about when he said that? And hardly anybody could ever tell me. They said, well, isn't that Philippians somewhere? And maybe, but they couldn't tell me what he was talking about. So let's get the context here a little bit. Look at verse 10. It says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And that's what I was talking about. They always wanted to give to Paul, but they didn't have opportunity. They didn't know where the man was for a long time. Now notice this. Not that I speak in respect of want. The better word there would be lack. For I have learned. Now notice, it's not something you're born with. This is something you have to learn. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, in other words, to be without enough, and I know how to abound. Some people don't know how to do that either. I didn't know how for years. Lord, one time, I speak often of those early days when money was staying away in great abundance. But there was a few times, you know, where, glory to God, the bills were paid up for the rest of the month, and we had month left over. And there was actually, the car was full of gas, or there was a chicken from Walmart at the refrigerator. You know, those baked chickens are really good, you know, $4.99, glory to God, feed you for a week. Well, anyway, maybe. Put some veggies with it, you know. But there was a few occasions there, and things would go good. Man, we had enough. And hallelujah. But then it seemed like we'd go right back into it for a while, you know, back into that situation of, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, you were here. Where'd you go? And he told me one time, he says, I'm trying to manifest my goodness to you, son, but you have failed the prosperity test 3 times. I didn't know there was a test. What? And he just showed me real quickly, recent history in my life at the time, those times when just a little bit of abundance, just where things were not in lack, just where we had some month left. And he said to me, "What happened to your prayer life?" Man, when you're believing God for your next biscuit, your prayer life is, I love you, God. Your worship life is good. Your confession life is good. You know, you don't know where your next meal's coming from. You know, I love you, God. My God supplies all my needs right here. This very right, all my needs. Get a little abundance. Oh, hallelujah. Pressure comes off. Prayer life, suddenly other things are more important. He told me, he says, you failed the prosperity test 3 times. Said, if you're just going to stop praying every time I send you a little abundance, you're putting me in a tough spot, son. I guess this is grow up month. Are we growing up a little bit this month, you know, maturing a little bit? Paul had to learn it. He had to learn this. He wasn't born. This doesn't come naturally to humans even after you're born again. He says, I had to learn this. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I'll be honest with you, I was not content. Are you kidding? I was content when there was month left and the bills were still paid. That's when I was content. When there was not money. See, this is the context he spoke of. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's talking about it's in this passage here, talking about the money. And he's saying, what he's really saying in that verse, money is not my source. My contentment is not based on the God of money. My contentment is based on the God whom I can trust, my provider. Doesn't matter what the outward appearance is. Here we go with that outward appearance. It doesn't matter what the outward circumstances are. I don't live by that. I live by faith in the God who loved me, saved me, and provides for me. So he says, I know, verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Now, since then, I'll take it another level. I did get to the point. Well, what's the key? How did you get past that? You just keep doing the message. You keep praying. You keep fasting. You keep meditating the word. You keep doing these things, and the Holy Spirit continues to grow you up. Plus, I'll just tell you, as you really trust him, you'll start having experiences with him yourself. Even my own soul, after a while. I mean, today, there's time still. I could, in the natural, I should be worried. I think, man, shouldn't I be worried? And it's almost like my own soul has been programmed or learned or something. You know, I've learned. It's going, you know, after you've seen him deliver you about 10,000 times, even your own soul goes, go to sleep. You can trust him. Go ahead and go to sleep. You can trust him. It's going to be okay. Well, I should worry. Now I go to sleep. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, okay. But so then the next step is when he says, I know how to abound. Well, barely having some month left with the bills paid is not really abounding, okay? And I told you recently, you know, there was a time we went way in the hole. I've told you about that debt cliff. You know, he never did tell me that was coming, by the way. He could have, couldn't he? Man, you talk about wanting to fix it. My mind during that time came up with 10,000 ways to fix that. And trying not to violate any of the instructions that he gave me, you know. You don't have to call it an appeal letter, do you? You can word your monthly letter, though, in such a way. I'm not looking at anybody for any reason, by the way. You can word your monthly letter in such a way that you let them know without letting them know. Help us. Won't you help me? You know, but we never did. I was so careful. I wrote it. I would purposely. I'd think until I came from the position I have $100 million in the bank. Then I'd write my letter. You know, so absolutely there would be nothing in it. Even subconsciously, that would be reaching for, please help me, you know. But then later we come into a time of abundance, come in where we had mucho more than what we need. By the way, I'm not saying it's that way today. Don't call me, don't come. I'm not saying I'll give you any. I'm not your source. Whatever the Lord says, that's what we're going to do. But then I did not see. He says he had to learn this. Look at this. Verse 11. I have learned. You see that? Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned. Not born with this. You have to learn it. Verse 12. I know both. How to be abased. Well, you got to learn. When there's nothing there to trust your God, you have to learn that. But then I had to learn how to abound. I had more than enough. Way more than enough. And I don't know what to do. My mind, are you kidding? My mind could come. I could, in 15 minutes, I could write like 4 checks and it'd be gone. Yes. How many of you wants to be the Lord's steward? Definition of steward, that money you're handling is not yours. You got that? Steward. It's not your money. Meaning, you have no right to make the decision what to do with it. Not if you're a steward. Now, right on the other hand, I don't want to overdo that. We'll get into this hopefully in this series, but when Peter was asking Ananias about Sapphira about the sale of their property, he said, while it was in your control, was it not yours to do with what you wanted? You understand that? God understands. He again, God's not forcing us with anything. But I'm talking about in ministry now, you know, provision and pound in ministry for us. The money that come in did not come to us personally. It came into the ministry. So I know for sure that is not my money for Gary to go spend on Gary or Sue or anything else. So I had to learn how to abound, which is mean you better hear him. I could empty that thing out. And like, I mean, you talk about needs. I could probably write 1 check to the prayer center and it'd be gone. Be like, and for them, there's so, anyway, you know, there's just, the needs are a lot greater, you know. Be like spitting in the ocean. They need so much. But you don't ever hear them complaining either, do you? Anyway, I got it. Okay. The point I'm trying to make here, it is, you have to learn. And if you keep on this path, you will learn, not only by doctrine, you will learn by experience. You got to learn it to survive. Okay. So I know. How does he know he learned it? I learned how to be abased. I learned how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. How was he instructed? He learned. He learned how to do it, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, it doesn't matter what the outward appearance is. I've learned how to function. I've learned how to operate. And in that context is when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, in plain Pottawatomie County English, he's saying, the next seed, look at the, you know, notwithstanding, I mean, it's okay, even though I just said that, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. In other words, that you sent the money. What he's really saying there is, I'm glad you sent the money, but you need to understand something. I've been at this a while. I have learned a few things along the way. And whether you send the money, whether you don't send the money, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If he says we can do it, then we can do it. Remember that time that I was going to be on the Sid Roth program? It's Supernatural, I think it's called. And they were, we went to Orlando and they taped the thing. And at the end of it, you know, they normally have ministers sell their book or sell a couple of cassette tapes here, you know. Trouble of it is, I said, well, we don't have anything for sale. Our instruction from the Lord is to give everything away free. I guess we could like provide a couple of cassette tapes if you want to offer them to the people for free. And the lady hesitated a minute. I always know I'm in trouble when this word comes out. Now, Reverend Carpenter. Uh-oh. Do you know Sid Roth's program reaches zama million people around the world every day? Are you sure that you want to offer, you provide, 2 free cassette tapes? I forget the numbers, 16 million people, something in that ballpark. Now, what do you think my natural mind said? No, we're not going to do that. Are you crazy? You think I just fell off the pineapple truck? What, are you nuts? But I had learned through Pastor Dave how to listen in that place on the inside. And I heard him in perfect peace, he said. Perfect calmness, like it was just a bright sunny day in heaven. I heard him say, I can afford it. So that's what I told her, and I went away walking like I knew everything, and on the inside, oh God, oh God, oh God. I'm telling you, you're going to learn a few things along the way. And did we do it? Yes, we did. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. And that brings us to the verse where we were this morning. It says, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, I'm just going to say it again because not everybody hears every message. See, I don't know for sure every single message that Paul taught at every church where he went, but he was preaching at a lot of churches. So I don't know for sure everything he did preach, but I can tell from this verse at least something that I know for sure he did not preach. He did not preach to those churches, you'll be blessed if you give into my ministry, and you'll be cursed if you don't. Because if he had been preaching that, every blessed one of those churches would have been giving into his ministry. So he was not preaching that the same way it's being taught today at large. Okay? So let's back up. Now, tonight's message is a little different. That verse right there where he says, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He had to learn it. Don't you wish he was here right now? Where you could just say, you know, he'd say, I'm going to have a class Monday night, 7 p.m. I'm going to teach you how to be content, no matter your external circumstances. How many of us would be at that class? I mean, if I had to cancel a doctor appointment, I'm going to be at that class, okay? I don't care what it is. Did you know he gives you that class in the same chapter? Back up just a few verses. He teaches you how to do it. Start in verse 4. Well, actually, okay, this instruction would be verse 6. Be careful for nothing. In more modern English, he's saying, don't worry about anything. And it's given like a command. You want to learn how to be content? Stop worrying. Oh, that's easy. You ever try that? Yep. You ever try casting the whole of your care upon the Lord? A minister friend of mine, I was listening to his tape, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. He would say, I tried to obey that. I'd cast the whole of my, trying to go to bed at night, I'd cast the whole of my care upon the Lord. I'd get into bed, it wouldn't be 60 seconds. I've got the care again. I'd have to get out of bed, kneel beside my bed. Lord, I'm casting this care upon you. You've got it. I don't have it. I'm free from worry. Get back in bed. Wouldn't be 60 seconds. I'd have that again. How did Dave say it? When Dave was trying to learn it, he said, I would cast the whole, at church we'd have an altar call. They'd have one of those services about casting the whole of your care upon the Lord. He says, I'd go to the altar weeping and crying, cast the whole of my care, and I'd leave them there at the altar. But he says, I'm driving home in my vehicle. And my cares and worries, they drove a Ferrari, y'all remember? They were already waiting for me by the time I got home. See, this is something you have to learn how to do this. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, turn to somebody and say, everything. Everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication. Now notice, with thanksgiving. I missed that part for years. Why the thanks? It's not a legalistic thing he's saying, no. Why the thanksgiving? Because your heart says he heard me and he answered me. With thanksgiving. Say, I need a job. Pray. Supplicate. I don't know what the difference is. Pray. I know how I did it. Real theological. Help me, Jesus. Father, help me. I need a job. Or I need this. I need that. Whatever it is. And then with thanksgiving, I know you heard me when I prayed. I'm not ever going to ask for this again. I'm going to treat you like you're real. You heard me when I prayed. That's why I would write it down, because I knew he wouldn't forget, but I'd forget. And I'd write it down, date it, put it in a ring binder, just so for me it was like a point of contact. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you really do it that way, there is a peace of God that's available. And it actually passes all understanding. I want to say it a different way. It's bigger than reasonings. It's bigger than your reasonings. Because I've had that peace come in my mind to still be trying to figure out how he's going to do it. When's he going to do it? I remember, faith, my brothers and sisters, does not wear a watch. If you're wondering how God is going to do it, or you're wondering when God is going to do it, that's called doubt. Doubt. Am I doing pretty good? And he's right. But you have to learn that. And if you have difficulty learning it, join the club. Don't let the devil tell you there's something wrong with you. You're normal. This is not easy for anybody to have that peace that passes understanding. But it does come. It's something in your spirit that's bigger than your circumstances. It's bigger than your reasonings. It's bigger than your emotions. Now, he's still instructing us how to be content no matter the circumstance. So look at verse 8 now. Let me finish verse 7. The peace of God which passes all understanding, I love this, shall keep your hearts and minds, your spirit and your soul. Even the part of us that normally wants to run off screaming. The mind, the emotions. Sue and I, again, it wasn't just the first week. I mean, those first few years when money would, man, I mean, it was bad and it stayed bad for a long time. My mind would just dream up scenarios. Again, I'd see us huddled together under a bridge wearing gunny sacks, you know. I mean, it was bad losing our car, not able to pay the rent, whatever it was. You know, I would catch my mind. Your mind just works that way. And I would catch it. And at first, I had to learn this, how to get back into that peace and let that peace come. But eventually, my mind would be reasoning that way, and I'd just go, shut up. Come on, shut up. It's not going to be like that. He hadn't delivered us all those other times to drop us now. Amen? Amen? It'll keep your heart and your mind. And the mind is not only the intellect, it's the emotions, you know? And then verse 8, now these are instructions. If you want to have that contentment, if you want to live in that peace that passes all understanding, you have to school yourself to do this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Now that one right there, faith always has a good report. You hear me? Reasonings normally end in bad reports. Human reasoning. But he says, think on these things, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that is given like a command, or you could say an instruction. If you went to the seminar that Paul was having, how to walk in the peace that passes all understanding, how to live in contentment, no matter what your external circumstances in. Well, Paul, I want to learn how to do it. How do you do it? And he would say, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. See, there's a lot of things that are true, but they're not a good report. There's a lot of things that are maybe just, but they're not lovely. You know what is true and lovely and honest and of a good report? God's word. The promises of God are not yes and no. The promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. Yes, I will meet all your needs. Yes, I will provide for you. Yes, you are my son. Yes, you are my heir. Yes, you are my righteousness. No wonder Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But he had to think on it. Meditate on it. Can I say reprogram his mind? Here we are. We're at Romans 12:2 again. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. And here's more instruction how you do that. Let's do it again. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. All right? I'm seeing an image right now of Paul and Silas in prison. The backs are probably still bleeding from the stripes that they took. Who knows what they're going to do to them in that town? You know, they're in the stocks at Philippi. Midnight comes. Man, if you talk about bad circumstances, your back is bleeding and you didn't really do anything wrong, but now they've arrested you and the businessmen of the town, they're upset with you and they're the ones that have influence and money. They're conspiring against you. If you want to let your mind go with what could happen. But what does Paul do at midnight? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, let me think on things that are pure and lovely and honest and true and of a good report. I worship you. I glorify you. You didn't send me here for no reason. I remember you sent me here. I remember the man that you sent. Lord, you sent me here on a mission, and that mission is not over. We're not going to die in this prison. I worship you. I glorify you. I praise you. Glory to God. And it moved God so much, God changed the external circumstances. Most men would have thought it was for them to escape. An earthquake came. Shook open the prison doors. I mean, most people would have been booking it out of there, you know. But even then, see, now he's abounding and he's still going to obey God. No, I haven't seen the man yet. God sent us here for a reason. I saw a man of Macedonia. We haven't seen that guy yet. But see, that event brought the jailer. He was going to kill himself because he just assumed they all left. Paul says, do yourself no harm, we're all here. When he come in with that light, and Paul saw his face, I know on the inside of him, he probably, I don't know how the stocks were, but if he could have nudged Silas, that's the man. That's the man that I saw in the vision. Led him to the Lord, said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house, and thou shalt be saved. And that was the beginning of the church at Philippi, that same church. That financially, they were the ones that supported Paul for that first 15 years or so of his ministry. Glory to God. They knew. That story, I know, got repeated over and over and over again. An earthquake came? The prison doors were open and they didn't leave? Why didn't they leave? Well, there was another soul to be saved. And they were willing to just stay in the prison as long as there was one more soul to be saved. You think that story didn't spread? No wonder they trusted Paul with their money. And then Paul later on, again down here, he says, verse 17, not because I desire a gift. They were sending money, he says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. My goodness. Went up there when it says, no church communicating with me is concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You know how that's normally taught. That receiving is supposedly your hundredfold return. That's not what was on Paul's mind. No, they would give to him and he would go evangelize. And every soul that was won by the gospel, that appeared on their account as if they had won that person themselves. Glory to God. Giving and receiving. They were giving and they were sure receiving. They're receiving rewards for all eternity for every soul. Glory to God. I want to finish up this contentment thing. Now, let me read verse 8 again. We're getting close to the end here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, I'm just telling you right now, I've been at this a long time. This is hard. This is hard to do this. This is not something you do. At least for me, I didn't get it done in a week. I'm not saying I get it done 100% now. There's times I have to school myself again. Depends on the circumstances. Yes, sir. Kyle and I are on a project right now. And I'm just thinking right now, I need to school myself again right here again. this is the truth and nothing else is. And I need to let my mind, I've got to force my mind to think on these things. And that's really verse 9. I want to do it together, though. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's a command now. It's a command. Do it. And then those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And I always want to write a little note in the margin. And if you don't, he won't. Now, it's not that he doesn't love you. It's not that he's not there for you. But that God of peace, that peace you're looking for, you want to walk in that peace that passes all understanding? Paul just gave you the seminar on how to do it. And really, it's up to you. You're either going to do that and reprogram your mind, or you're not going to do that. Isn't that right? Now, all of this, see, here's the other verse that we quote all the time, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you know that's true? He really will. I'll be honest with you, I have found him to be more generous than I am obedient. I've seen him bless me when he shouldn't have. I've seen him go ahead and take care of me just like a parent for a child. You love that child so much, even, you know, you may have to discipline them a little, but there's still maybe a little bit of ice cream after supper, you know, because you just love that child. I've seen him be like that with me. But if I really want to live in the full blessings, my God shall supply all my need, then I've got to learn all these things. That's not an isolated verse to be picked out. It's like every other verse. It belongs in the setting. Well, these people had suffered. Yes, sir. Don't have time to teach that today. If we had time to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says in the beginning, when they were really supporting his ministry, they were suffering a great time of affliction. In other words, it wasn't easy for them to give in the early days. How many can relate? Anyone here can relate with that? Not always. Just tons of abundance in order to give. See? You know? It was a struggle for them. But they've learned over the years. And they're still learning from Paul. Verse 18, he says, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. In other words, I really appreciate this gift. Paul is not kidding here. And I think it was a sizable gift, and I doubt it was easy for them to give it. But he's reassuring them that God's looking on their heart. See, God, when it says God loves a cheerful giver, I love how that's in the Amplified. Whose heart is in his giving. Whose heart is in his giving, and that's the Philippians. They weren't giving to get any kind of hundredfold return. They weren't giving to giving their best seed to meet their need. They were giving because they knew money plus Paul equals souls. That's why they were giving. And he says, with that heart, my God, he will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I have found that to be the case, and I'm still finding it to be the case. And he is, again, more generous with me than my obedience. You know, it's still by grace. Yes, sir. But you can't walk in this peace without obedience to the instruction. Look at verse 9 again. I want to leave you with this. Those things which you have learned. I mean, did we learn anything tonight from Paul? Did we learn some things? What to do? Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, now here it is, do. God will not do that for you. You have to do that. He's made it available to you. And if you're willing to do that, boy, that God of peace, people wonder what's wrong with you. They know your circumstances, and yet you're just walking like you and Jesus. How does Dave say that? Walking through the tulies. Everything's wonderful. How can you walk in that kind of peace? We see all this devastation around you. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Glory to God. That God of peace will be with you. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop for now. Is that good stuff or what? It is good stuff. But this is something that has to be learned and has to be learned on purpose. And you have to put action to it. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead you in a confession. Like, you're already really good at this peace that passes understanding thing. So let's just do it like this. See, I am never careful about anything. I don't worry about anything. Not ever. Rather than worry, I pray and make supplication to my God. And I always give him thanksgiving. Because I know he heard me when I prayed. The peace of God that passes all understanding constantly keeps my heart and keeps my mind through Christ Jesus. I force myself to think on things that are true. Things that are honest. Things that are just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. If there's any virtue and any praise, I think on those things. I have learned how to do this. And I do it all the time. And the God of peace is with me. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? See, I love confession. It does something to you. It's one thing to read it, but to take that same thing and put it in your words and come out of your mouth. So, for part of it, it first locates you going, I'm not like that. But it starts the ball rolling. And you keep saying that, and you'll be amazed. Pretty soon you go, shouldn't I be worried? There's that peace that passes all understanding, and you're really, really walking in it. Others, I'll tell you, the whole world is starving for that peace. Amen. You walk in that, they'll be wanting what you have. You hear me? They'll be wanting what you have. Now, let me just tell you, when I read the book of Acts, I get really excited, but I expect to see more than what you see in the book of Acts. Amen. This is not the beginning of the church. This is the glorious ending of the church. It is the last of the last days. We're going to be a people that grows up into that full maturity. And I expect what happens in our generation to exceed anything we read in the book of Acts. I really believe that. I believe that. And there's a lot more people on planet Earth to be harvested for the kingdom. We need a lot more manifestation of that kingdom. Amen? All right. Left teaching, went to preaching, but it's okay once in a while. You ever read the books about Azusa Street? I read those eyewitnesses that were there, eyewitness accounts. The children loved to play and hide in the glory cloud. It was so visible, like a fog that was come in. The kids would go play in it. And that was the beginning of this outpouring in our generation. Oh my God, what are we in for? Someone say, I'm glad I go to this church. Hallelujah.